Welcome to the podcast and welcome to the Developing Life community. It's our mission to connect with all of you to elevate your entrepreneurial journey with human-centered innovation and sustainable growth strategies, creating a space for ethical and purposeful expansion in a digitally charged landscape. My name is True. I'm a brand vocalist working to honor the heart of a brand to form a visual language that speaks its truth. And I am so grateful to have teamed up with some amazing individuals. Davron Bowman, brand strategist, amplifying B2C brands on a global scale. And he is your host for today's episode. And Heather Crank, an award-winning art director, pioneering the transcendence of art, design, and technology. So thank you again for joining us for our second episode, Find Your Flow with Mauricio Tonon. Mauricio is a Brazilian art director and creative motion designer with more than 13 years experience in design. He's collaborated with some amazing companies such as JWT, Huge Inc., and has received multiple awards for his innovative work with clients like Coca-Cola, Fiat, Samsung, Twitter, and more. Mauricio is also a masterclass instructor, and he has taught more than 400 people in AI technologies. So I am very excited to listen in on this discussion with Davron and Mauricio as they deep dive into how to organize and structure your workflow to fuel your creativity. And I hope you guys are just as equally excited. So from this point on, if you have any questions that you would like for Mauricio to answer, you go ahead and just share those on the event page or here in our Q&A on Zoom. And we'll be behind the scenes collecting those questions and we'll bring as many as we can to Mauricio to answer during the interview. And if there's any questions that we don't get a chance to hit here, we will hold on to them and then answer them in post content after the event. So without any further ado, welcome Mauricio and Davron. The floor is yours.
Thank you so much, True. I really appreciate it. You're always amazing. At introducing our host, I want to take a moment to welcome everyone here. If you're just joining us, we're here for episode two of the Developing Life podcast, and we are sitting down with award-winning art director, motion designer, and AI educator, Mauricio Tonon. We're going to be exploring a subject that is kind of controversial to us as designers and creatives, something that we don't always think of fueling and accelerating our creativity. But Mauricio begs to differ, and after working with the major clients that he has, I am all ears and ready and willing to listen to what he has to say on the topic of how organization, structure, and design rules fuel creativity and enhance creative businesses. Welcome, Mauricio. It is amazing to have you. I kind of want to open up this conversation with a big question, which is why did you choose this topic? Because as an AI creator, I thought for sure you were going to jump in here and talk about Midjourney and Kyber and Runway and all of the exciting video that you've been doing. But instead, you chose a very valuable topic that is essential, especially if you're a new designer, which is organization and structure. So, why is that the topic that we've picked today?
Yeah, man, first, thanks for having me. Thanks, Drew, for the amazing intro. That was like top notch, really amazing. I have to take some
He's
notes for
awesome.
my own podcast. It's crazy. It's a little bit of a polemical topic, and then we can come back in a future podcast to talk about AI. It's always the opportunity. I will touch a little bit today. But I chose it because it actually helps me to enhance my creativity, and it sounds like super controversial. So by talking about something that people usually will not think about is a little bit where I want to my brand be going, like this type of things that really help the people that will start applying it and start using it, but usually is the opposite of what's the whole market is talking about. But if you study a little bit and research a little bit, you'll see that also successful people, they have processes in place to make everything happen for them. Okay? And this is the same principle. This is the same thing that I want to do. Develop processes that work every time for different clients, So I want to make one thing really clear. There is no thing like a prompt or a magic thing that will solve your problems and you apply to all clients and like just get the money. That doesn't exist. Yeah. You probably never will. But when you have the right processes, the right rules, the right organization in place, what you do is you actually accelerate the process after the first stage and really focus just on the parts that needs to be done, which usually involve creativity. So by basically just adding one simple step of organization and email preparation on the beginning of your workflow, you free the rest of the process from it. That's why creating rules make you be more creative. Man. Because you're literally freeing yourself during this process. Separating things.
That sounds much more appealing than just being restricted or caged in, because I know oftentimes when we think about organization and structure, we think about it stifling our creativity or keeping us from experiencing things or trying new things out, you know? And so it's often viewed in a very negative connotation, but that sounds amazing in the sense that we can develop something powerful and predictable at the start that frees up our time to really focus on creative things. So, you know, you have got an extensive history of working with some amazing brands worldwide. When AI came out, you had one of the most viral posts ever with your Nike Midjourney collaboration. So you know, we're inclined to believe that everything that you're saying is tried and tested and definitely true. But I'm interested in understanding how long it took you in your creative journey to realize the importance of developing a creative flow and the challenges that you face and kind of what ultimately led up to the decision of, if I'm going to level up my business, this is something that I have to do.
Okay, you probably need to repeat the last two parts of the sentence.
Yeah, no worries. So in your creative journey, like, how long did it take you to kind of understand the benefits of organization? Like, was it you went through a ton of successful projects and just knew you needed this for the next step? Or was it that you found yourself kind of making it through some projects and then going back and wondering, you know, how did I accomplish this? And realizing that an organized system would really benefit you when it comes to reaching out to clients and those starting points of your workflow.
So I can give you the exact project and date.
Really? Wow. Okay.
So it was in 2012. Okay. I was working in a social media agency and it was getting really crazy. Like the agency growing like crazy, like we couldn't hire for how much it was growing.
Wow.
So it got to a time where I did have to do more than 200 posts in 1 week of work.
What? Wow.
Without any automation, you know. And I was like an art assistant. After 2 weeks, like working late every single day, even working weekends to get everything done, like it must be a better way to do all these things.
Yeah.
So I sit down with the creative director and the guy named Nando Sperb. He's an amazing artist and excellent art director. And he suggested, why don't we take some days of your next week, create an organizational system that can help you accelerate the whole process of producing things, like,
sure.
And what we did was we literally sit together, map kind of everything that repeats and like needs to be done multiple times and have similar content, and like develop asset folder with backgrounds, lights, shadows, and product people using products like all colored and treated. So we have basically more than almost 1,000 images, to be honest, as assets produced in like 2 days in like five people. And then we just started using that as a template of things. So we imagine with that many number of assets, the combinations we can do is almost endless. So it's basically get one thing from here, apply a filter, put the text, done. So I could do like 50 posts per day.
Just really, effortlessly. Really,
yeah.
Wow.
You know? So by taking 2 days, really created and think about what we need to do, Planning and analyzing is a great part of it, you know. Really take a look, okay, what will need here? How I can make my life easy in the next weeks by understanding these and understanding what I need to prepare myself.
So let me get this right. You went from worrying and stressing about creating 200 posts per week, because that, I mean, that is an insane amount of work when you break it down, to taking 2 days of organization to solve all of those issues. So, like, not only is organization and structure practical, it is one of those things that we can immediately implement. And even if we don't see the results publicly or on the client side, we're going to realize them in a like less stressed and more prepared, more confident way moving forward if we take the time to develop them. Yeah.
Definitely. Like, if you're overworking or working crazy hours, it'll definitely help you reduce those. And if you're not, it will definitely help you to give more free time, which you can invest in whatever is needed to enhance that work you're doing, mm-hmm. or in studying new things, new techniques, or whatever, you know. Basically, yeah. You gain less stress and more time.
Which is the goal of pretty much every creative, because, you know, our inspiration comes from the world around us and our experiences and our ability to connect with people. And that inspiration is kind of slowed down or stagnated if we become so busy that we are just locked to a computer or worried about a client or worried about what we're going to do next. You know, that kind of kills some of that creative drive. So that's amazing that organization and structure can solve those problems so quickly. And with that thought in mind, so why do you think that even though they realize the potential benefits of organization and structure and even the design rules that exist, you know, across the design world, why do you think that creatives find it difficult to not just develop these processes, but to maintain them as they grow?
Because to start, you need to stop and dedicate time to it. You know, you need to find your way to do what helps you to do things faster, because everyone is completely different.
Yeah,
that is the whole problem of like the whole workforce. Like, a lot of rules and things are made for everyone to operate like robots, like AIs. Yeah. And it's not, we are completely different. Like, there's some people that work best in the morning, others best in the end of the day. Some people is naturally fast paced, the others are don't. Like, it doesn't mean it's better or worse, it's just different, you know. But the system is not prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's the big problem. People have to stop and think about themselves and like analyze how they like and what they like doing things. The second thing is, usually people tend to find a solution and apply to everything. Mm-hmm. And it's not the case. If you apply this to the whole process, you will be quite constrained and quite mechanical outcomes coming out from it, which is the opposite of creativity. So we don't want that. It's really identifying, okay, which times I need to be organized and need to prepare myself beforehand that will make my process more effective, you know, that I can free myself and think. Like, one example is, if you have a system, you probably have a system to put your clothes in your drawer, you know?
Yeah.
Usually you separate things, and imagine that it's not like that.
Yeah.
It would be way difficult to get anything to like understand what is happening. That's a project done without like organization and setting rules and everything. It's a complete mess. While the creative chaos is interesting, there is a time and place for it to happen, and it's not in the beginning of the thing.
Man. I'm loving this conversation more and more because, yeah, when I think about structure and organization, I'm thinking that I need to like have a plan of attack from the very first contact to the complete end of a client project. And that does seem like it would stifle creativity. But from what I'm getting from you, it's just important to make sure that we have these processes in place so that when they're necessary, we can rely on them, so that we know that they're there. We know how long they take, and then we actually can start to gauge how much creative freedom we have to invest in a client and kind of adjust accordingly. Is that right?
Yeah, correct.
Awesome.
There are tools to help you in the process of a project, to accelerate it, to make it better, but they're not magic. They're not anything like that. They're just things to help you. We still have to do the work. You just need to stop and try to do, there is a rule that kind of is known, that is the 80-20 rule. Usually we do 80% of effort to get 20% of good results. And using this process and things is where you start to inverting this thing, doing just 20% of like hard effort, getting 80% of good result. That's the goal of the whole thing.
That sounds life-changing. Like that is such a powerful flip in conversions. So when we're on the topic of tools and taking into consideration that we all do need to take some time to refine, to find our own flow, and to avoid the trap of just trying to copy someone else, because that's also a creativity killer. If we're trying to do something that someone else has built that works for them, and then it doesn't work for us, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're failing. It just might mean that that creative process is not intentioned for our business or for the way that we work. So when it comes to tools and technologies and kind of the structure that you're using, do you have any advice that would help designers or creatives, just broad spectrum things that we can use and then kind of personalize or tailor to fit our businesses?
So your question is kind of your answer, you know, you have to find yours. I can share mine for sure.
Yeah, I'd love to hear them.
You have to find yours, the ones that you like to operate more. Like, for example, I hate Twitter, I hate X, social media. And for AI filmmaking, it's the main place to be there. And I'm not. Because I chose not to be, so I have other sources, other means to get that information that I get there. But just an example, like you don't have to accept and as you say, take some one process and apply to you. It's good to maybe do that as an initial point, so you have from where to start and you can discover easier what works and don't work for you. That, I think, is perfectly okay and even may save you some time. But I think for me, what works is organize things in Figma, Notion, and these two tools, because I use for a lot of different things. So for each project I have, and usually Google Drive for manage the files. So yeah, I usually, before I start, I have a kind of a template, separated for type of work I do, like if it's AI, if it's just art direction, if it's 3D motion, I have a kind of different template for each one of them. And again, you need to develop this template so you can attend your own needs. You know, this template has what I need to start the project. So client, what this project is about, what is the goal, what is the key shareholders, what is the KPIs of the project. Any references, any good things. So I have a kind of a list of a lot of things that I know that when I have it, I can start a project without worrying. And when I get a new project, all I need to do is fill this list. It's the first thing on Notion, you know? And then I have kind of briefing. Now I'm taking this list, going to ChatGPT and ask him to create a brief document based on this list, you know? So I receive basically, I fill it, receive a brief document of the whole project that perfect for me,
man,
a tailored briefing for you, you know, that's kind of nice. And then on Figma, about visual organization, so I don't even use Figma Gen because I think it's a little bit restricted and I don't get the shortcuts much well, and I use the normal one, but like visual references, tests, anything that I can put in there, because especially in the creative process, the whole thing with creativity is your brain does connections between things. Okay. That's how creativity kind of works.
Yeah.
But it has techniques to make that work even better. So like just by laying down a bunch of pictures that are not related in any way with each other, you make your brain make creative connections.
Really?
And maybe not use any of them, but your brain starts to get into the mood of, hey, let's make connections. And then you start going into the project. That is like the getting yourself warmed up for the gym.
Yeah.
That is kind of what it is. So you're really ready to start creating when it's done. And it's literally like an image of an apple, a high road, model, an anime, whatever you find there, maybe can be related to the project if you want to influence a little bit more. But like just nailing down references and taking a look at them, your brain like, boop. And then like inside Figma, I also have everything kind of organized too. So I have like the pages for each stage of the project. I have the, forget the name, the frames for each one of the things I do. So this is references I gather. This is references from the client. This is what the client send. This is the client brand, for example, and elements from that. So all these kind of things that kind of repeat themselves each time. Like I always have my references. The client always will have his brand. Sometimes they'll have their references. So I just leave that and just feel it again, you know?
Yeah.
And after having all this, so what it does is it sets an environment for me to be really comfortable and do whatever I want. Because I prepare everything beforehand. When I get to the project, it's fun.
Yeah, man, I love that. And that definitely ties into our first podcast episode about how confidence, you know, we think about confidence and think it's something that we either have or we don't, but it actually stems from practice, you know, practice, practice, practice. And the only way we get better at practicing is by refining those systems and doing the same thing over and over again. And the tools that you mentioned were amazing. I'm a huge fan of Notion. It has been revolutionary in being able to create, you know, optimized workflows, containers for clients, and to have all of the information available. And I love that you're using it as a, you know, an award-winning art director, someone that is in a senior position to utilize those things that oftentimes as beginner designers we forget, which are, you know, KPIs, user personas, how we are approaching the audience. And as we move forward, also from a collaborative sense, you know, the making connections to different parts of the industry, to potential outlets is so valuable, because with the release of AI and content being accelerated, those collaborations and community immersions and really meaningful human interactions are going to start to take, you know, front stage. So if we have structure and can get through the very important legal, you know, structure sides of things, then that really gives us the time that we need as creatives to look at a situation, take it in, take some time, explore, and come up with decisions and results that are truly unique, you know, that we've really, really thought out. So that's amazing. So what has your result been? Do you think that it is structure and organization and following these rules that has really catapulted you to a position where you're working? I mean, with, you know, Coke, with Huge, with Samsung, with all of the major brands that you're doing, have you found that it makes it easier to land those clients and to move confidently into working with them?
To land those clients, maybe in an indirect way, because I may be more confident, because I know I have this backup, which is all my organization and system in place, you know. But usually the benefit is more in the process itself and in the result, because you reflect that you're spending more time on the creative parts and you're spending less time on the bureaucratic things that usually turn your energy down. So it impacts a lot of things. But yeah, for me, directly sales, no, but the confidence definitely is a boost, because you're just safe, you know. It's like taking your bike with the support wheels. It's there, you know.
Yeah,
it's easier to do things. And like about what you say about going to the basics, user personas, research and everything, that's essential to any project. But if you're spending too much time on it, you're overthinking and it's not good. You're just start to find problems that shouldn't be there, because the more you look at it, the more problems you will find. And Just a quick tip in there, like don't overthink those things, do it. It's super important to immerse yourself in the client universe, understand things and all, but don't lose much time on it.
Man, that is such a valuable and important point to express, because, you know, I feel like most people in the creative field are by default empaths. They're very in tune with feelings and responses, and they're, you know, worried that everything that they're delivering is accurate. And I can really start to see the benefit in that if you have a system in place that you know has worked several times before, then it will prevent you from overanalyzing and trying to come up with decisions on your own. You know, it will help you to realize that this is a part of the project. We need to move to creativity. We need to get some things out, and then we'll come back and refine these, you know, based on responses, because it's supposed to be built for a client and an audience. So definitely, you know, structure and organization and the role they play in moving us forward is truly exciting, because those are all the points that we hate getting stuck at as designers. Like, I don't want to be typing up user personas research. Like, I want to be involved in the brand and their story and the things that make people, you know, truly excited about them. So that's that is amazing. So on a personal level, what type of good results have you experienced from this? I mean, as far as your free time, as far as your level of happiness, I mean, you just gave us the example of, you know, taking 200 pieces of content and optimizing it to the point that you could comfortably do 50 a day, which when you add that up, you're doing 50 more pieces of content at the end of the week than you were doing, and you're doing it much more efficiently, much more confidently, and in a way that doesn't, you know, have you exhausted. So what other positives have structure added to your life?
Yeah, like for example, this example of the posts, I was doing almost the same amount, like a little bit more, but just working normal hours, going at home when I should go home. You know? So that's 5-4 hours per day that I saved in a week.
It's wow,
a lot. Creative freedom, because you don't need to have to worry. Basically, you're kind of trying to anticipate the problems you have and take them out of the way. So when you get to that stage, they're not there.
You know? That's crazy. That seems so amazing. Like preparing to make sure that you are set up for success so that no matter what comes your way, you can handle it, you can move forward. That is like, that is such a win.
Yeah. The more things, it will be speed, you move faster, you'll be more creative, you'll be able to explore more options, or be able to test that thing that you have an idea, but you usually don't have the time to do it. And one thing that is quite interesting is not to sell projects, but after you sold the project, after it's done the project, if you have organized and well named and well placed, to continue working with the client is way easier. One, because of the way you presented things to him that he can understand easy and like it's not a confusion. And second, because at least I don't like that. That's why I say don't spend too much time on this user research things, because we are speculating. It's good to have a basis, but it's speculation. So I prefer to have this basic basis done, take it to the real public, take it to the real audience, let them say what they like and what they don't like, and already have in place with the client, hey, let's do a continuous work to solve your brand. I even sometimes need to reduce a little bit the initial thing for the fee, but deliver MVP so we can test it with their audience and continuous work. So in the end, I will make the same money, work a little bit the same, won't change anything, but we'll have available data in the final part of the project, value feedback from users. And then I just go back to my super organized things, change whatever I need to change, ship it up, don't need to rebuild anything, don't need to spend time find which is that file. No, they have the exact name that I know that I sent to the client. Everything is easy to find, is easy to... So it really helps in this ongoing collaborations. It's impossible to work without a great system and process in place.
Yeah, I feel like when we post this video, there needs to be a very big snippet that just says, please label your files accordingly. I am definitely a victim of that, of like rushing through a project and just letting it export as whatever it is, or giving it a goofy name and then coming back like 6 months later and wondering where that file is, spending a day looking for it. And it's just like so frustrating and aggravating. And especially as a person who is not super far into their design career on my own, those are bad habits that absolutely will rob you of your joy at the beginning stages, like not knowing how to approach a client, not knowing how to onboard them, not knowing how to manage things. From a client relationship, it's also beneficial when you hand things off. Like even if a client is not going to stay with you, I've walked into so many situations where the previous designer has not left anything. Like there are no assets, there are no logos, palettes, copy, results. And so you are just shooting blind. So as an extension of kindness and professionalism to the client, it is amazing to just be able to hand them off a Google folder or, you know, something that's already set, something that's already been approved that you know will work and is easily discoverable for, you know, the next person, because that's kind of the standard that you would want to set for yourself as well. So
for sure. And the client will refer you if you are the later, not the first one. If you let him hanging just and deliver the project and that's it, he'll probably not refer you to anyone. But if you're taking care of him, have a good relationship, do a good handoff, anyone that needs a good designer, he's, hey, I have one. I work with one.
Yeah. And it makes a difference. I mean, that's definitely something that clients take note of. You know, if they've been left with no resources, no help, and then you're there, and even if it's a short relationship and you leave them with things that they need to be prepared to make an impact, it's so meaningful and it makes you memorable. You know, there have been instances where I've finished a project and then 6 months later, someone has come back because they've worked with someone else. It didn't go well. And even tapping back into those projects, like I still have the Google Drive on my computer, like I can tap right back into it. Like everything is there. And it's just so much more easy to rekindle, you know, that relationship. So
yeah, 100%.
We do have a couple of questions coming in. Heather's actually wondering, on the project that you were developing a couple hundred pieces of content for, was that one client that you were developing all of those pieces? No, it was for multiple clients. Okay.
It is one client, but like the client had 11 different products, and each one of the products had his own social media accounts.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. That's something that I don't even consider, but when you do get into more catalog based and e-com businesses, then yeah, I guess it could be more of a, every product has its own presence and it's developing, you know, all of those out. So when it comes to you setting these organizational processes, and I know you said that you like to use Notion and things like that for more complex projects, did you kind of just jump into Notion, or were there some online resources that you used? Or for our designers and creatives that are in here that are wanting to establish their own structure, how would you suggest that they go through learning, you know, Notion or finding some sort of platform or tool that works the best for them?
Two things, I think. YouTube is your best friend. It can teach you anything.
Yes.
And there is no better school than logging in, creating an account and testing it, because you need to do it specific things for you. That okay, you can find on YouTube the technical part of how to achieve that, but the process, how to link everything together to make it work is personal. Because it's your process, you know. So it's put your hands out there and get dirty, you know. It's the best advice.
Yeah.
Any software. And usually all platforms and softwares, they have a documentation website or a big help guide. Those are the Bible to everything. Like I'm starting 3D, Cinema 4D. I go to the documentation, I see, I want to do this ray casting thing. Ray casting, find what you need to do. In this platform, it's the same thing, like Midjourney. It's just a site, and you get there, documentation, you learn how to do everything. And people, like most of the people, they go to Google and everything, and usually Google don't show these pages because they're terrible in SEO. The help pages, nobody care. So it's really the gold is on the platform itself. Usually they have learnings, YouTube channels or the documentation. That is the best place to learn. And you don't need to learn the thing. You don't need to become a master in Notion. You need to learn the 4, 5, 6, 10 things you need to learn to make your process.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, like how to download the templates, how to get them integrated. I'm feeling a little called out here because I am definitely guilty of every new platform that I jump on, I know that they have a help section. Like, it is usually very prominent there that if you want to learn, we will help you. These are from the people that work for us. And for some reason, I just skip them over. It's just, it's a very guilty thing. It happens with directions that come, instructions that come with anything. But when you actually do tap into those resources and listen to the people who are curating the platforms telling you how to succeed, it is so powerful and it is so pointed and it is optimal for their platform. So yeah, across, you know, Notion, YouTube, or even social media, tapping into those libraries are so valuable. And those are also things that play a vital role in organization and structure. You know, if you're going to post social media content and you've been struggling, are you checking the trending audio sounds? Are you checking the inspiration? Are you checking, you know, your, how to optimize your CTAs or what's going on right now? And those are all ways that, you know, we can analyze and instantly implement to kind of start making new breakthroughs. So
yeah, 100%. And I think it's important to maybe teach people how to do the simple things, like this example of you give the of social media is quite perfect. How a system work in that, you know? And it's quite easy. Just find an RSS tool, submit the places that you know always post the last audio trends, the last things, and get a daily mail sent to you with those things. That is it. A system in place. You don't need to visit anything. You get in your email every day. Probably you can set the same hour to receive it, and it's there.
Man.
And like you do it once, you now don't have to do it the rest of your life again, you know?
Yeah. That is valuable. So that is a point that took me 5 years of creativity to learn. And it, I feel like it's something that almost needs to be dispelled amongst creatives, because I feel like we've all migrated into this position of we are creatives teaching creatives, attracting other design crowds, attracting other design entrepreneurs. But when we start to tap into those RSS feeds and start to get into like the news media and the resources that are coming out and the new things that are popping up, and you know, that becomes a part of our structure, and that we take not only inspiration from that, but we are submitting our work to places like that. Like that is such a great way to get tuned in, and definitely submitting our work. There are so many creatives, myself included, that we're making content nonstop and just a fraction of it is seeing the light of day because we don't have a system that allows us to document our process, document the results, and then share something that is very important to us. So just on that note, I know that most of the people that are joining us, most of the people that are watching us are very familiar with you because you are an absolute powerhouse in the design industry. Like you were everywhere. But for the new designers who are just entering this industry and who might be a blend of hopeful and kind of terrified at AI and everything coming out, like what piece of advice would you give to new people that are entering the creative field as it pertains to organization and structure that you think would just supercharge, you know, their efforts at that beginning stage?
Okay, so let me first give them the tip, tell them why the organization will be nice. It's because it becomes, if you start really early in your career, you're saved because it becomes a habit. Literally, I start my projects now automatically that way.
Wow.
You don't have to think about it anymore. I just do it. Mm. It's automatic. I don't have any to make an effort for it. So as soon as you start, the bigger benefits you have in terms of time, of course, and you'll be on your career really early. Like this type of organization things is things you see in senior management level.
Hmm.
When your senior manager people in company senior doing these things, they say, hey, this person is different. This person is doing things and is thinking a little bit ahead. That for any company is someone that should be valued, you know?
Man. That's amazing. And so, I mean, I guess also as an individual who is starting design, but has the dream of becoming a senior designer or a, you know, an art director or something like that, having these processes as a standard will not only help you at the beginning level, but as you become a leader to be able to translate these processes to your team, it kind of builds like a predictable business entity that goes beyond you. Like those systems are, you know, you can replicate them, you can translate them, you can train your team on them, and then they just become, you know, kind of beneficial full scale and allow you to amplify. Yeah.
It kind of became an addiction, to be honest.
Really? Wow. Okay.
And because it just have so many benefits. After you, like, the first time you do it is a pain in, you know, it's really because, oh, I don't want to do this other thing while I could watch in Netflix or doing it. But yeah. Then when you see the results, it's like, okay, that's nice. Don't have to work late today. It's something that is been growing. And for the other part of the question about like people that are entering the workforce and they're worried about AI. AI is here, is that reality, it won't go away. So what you need to do to face this reality? First, embrace it, study how AI has been used in UI UX. I use it in my UI UX work all day.
Yeah.
It accelerates so much things, like there's so much resumes of information, conversation information for me. So it's quite great. But the first thing I think it's, really think about if you are getting into this market, the design way of life, let's call it, for the right reasons. Just do it if you really like it, because if you don't, in a few years AI will be doing the technical part that you do, and if you don't love what you do, you won't be doing it with love. And if you won't be doing it with love, you won't be creative. And if you're not creative in 5 years, you'll be fired.
Yeah.
You won't have a job.
That is true. That is both the terrifying, but also the most exciting part of this AI push, new generation. I mean, you're absolutely right in that it's out. So it's not going away. For people that don't enjoy creativity in terms of design, there are tons of other applicable, you know, applications for ChatGPT. You can use it to grow any business. You can use it to learn something new. I love the capabilities of feeding it information and then telling it that I am, you know, a visual learner, or I'm someone that needs to like do a task, and having it, you know, spit out suggestions for what I could do to really learn something in my own way. But I think that you're absolutely right in that this is going to become a tool for the true creatives and people who absolutely love what they are doing. And I think that the people who don't love what they're doing are probably already finding some sort of like resentment or reason to, you know, just kind of move away from the industry, because it is taking away the time that you spend on the computer. It is taking away the time that you spend like, you know, ideating and mood boarding and things like that. But I personally just want to make amazing things. Like I want to share valuable stories. I want to be able to take all of the millions of ideas in my mind and just like lay them out. And so for, you know, everyone that is truly immersed and that has been waiting for this, it is super exciting, but structure is key, because if not, then you're just creating things. And that's, you know, that's definitely something that as a team, myself, Heather, True, we've all kind of witnessed, is that AI is moving into this space where people are sharing things, but not a lot of it has meaning. Like not a lot of it is meant to change the world or impact people. It's kind of just showcasing. And so I definitely love the advice on organization and tools and structure and how we can use those to create real benefits that go just, you know, beyond just showing our creative work. That's amazing.
Yeah. And in the AI talks too, just for you to get up to what's happening in the AI world, you will need an organizational system or you'll get crazy.
Yeah.
You go cuckoo. It's too much, you know? So or you have one of those or you get out of it. That's your two only choices, you know? Otherwise, it will be quite terrible. But I have, for example, I trained for the podcast I'm working, Zero One Cine. I created a GPT that helps you to do the whole filmmaking process.
Really?
Being an AI movie or not an AI movie.
What?
And like can be used by professional filmmaker experience it, to like have a partner and think about things, or for someone that never made a movie before in their life. Like, it literally is trying to teach you the step by step and everything that's necessary to produce a movie.
That is great. Is it out? Is it out now? Like, are you using it? Is it for public release? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, we will tag that, and we will, like I said, I want to have you back for a discussion soon, you know, at your convenience, about AI. I mean, the industry has shifted in just the year and a half that we have been into it. And like I said, I thought for sure when I approached you for this episode, that would be the thing that you were bringing. But I have to say, this is much more valuable, and especially with the amount of GPTs that are coming out, like the markets are all flooded, so it is kind of impossible to go out and try everything. So even as it relates to organization and structure, finding the tools that work for you and making them work for you, and then setting up client processes that allow you to explore them and immerse and kind of, you know, really level up your game, that is just such a beautiful fusion and balance of organization and creativity. And so we have one more incoming question from Heather, which I think is actually is beautiful, because I know, where are you at right now, Mauricio?
Locally or in?
Yeah, locally. I mean, where are you living?
I'm right in now? Spain. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So you have a completely different demographic and exposure to, you know, an entirely different network of artists than we do. So to kind of just create some cohesion and maybe expose the community to a few other AI artists and people that are moving in the same direction as you, who do you usually look to or follow for AI updates or advice or inspiration?
Oh, that is a couple of channels and people.
Yeah.
So first thing, I have my RSS feed organized to capture anything with specific keywords around AI, innovation, these kind of things.
Okay.
Second is some YouTube channels. The first one is Matt Wolf.
Okay.
He has a website called futuretools.io, which basically is a searcher of AI tools. You put whatever you need in there, it will send you the list of AI tools available for whatever you're looking for. So quite useful. Then for updates on, I'm focusing more on Midjourney, Runway, like really specific tools. I have two channels that I follow, which is Theoretically Media.
Okay.
And the other one is Future Tech Pilots. They're all up to whatever new is coming and always posting. So it's good to follow those guys. Again, I really choose my battles in this thing, because you know, if I try to get over everything, I'll get crazy. So I choose Midjourney, Runway, some other video AI, that's it, and ChatGPT in general. And when I need something really specific, I go to ChatGPT myself.
Really?
And, wow. And make him be a helper on the research, you know?
Wow. So many capabilities. I mean, ChatGPT and Midjourney, and then of course Runway for animation, especially with all of their new releases, the motion brush and new directional tools and things like that to make it cohesive. The media industry, the way that it's moving is just, it's insane. I mean, here in the next few years, every person at home is going to have like Hollywood movie capabilities, which is amazing, especially for creatives who have those ideas. And just, you know, sometimes we have these epic thoughts and concepts that we know we're not going to get paid for, that we know would take months to develop if we were in Blender and the Adobe suites and all of these other things. And now to have those tasks reduced to like a few days or a week is just so motivating. So I'm really excited about what the creative community is going to be, you know, putting out over this next year or so.
Yeah, and we are just really scratching the surface, because we are still doing the old things with new tools, and few people are exploring how to do new things with these new tools. And in the next years will be the real crazy ones. Like this year, I work in last year, I worked in a really specific project, which the client didn't have the budget or time to make their idea in traditional ways. They couldn't build the scenarios that they wanted, and in 3D will not be done in time. So what they did, they called me as an AI consultant, and they were shooting a simple 30 seconds commercial for TV, for a brand, for TV, for web, which has two people, one talking to each other in the foreground, okay. And then the whole background AI, all really? Animated. Everything wow. apart from the actors and maybe a table, yeah. everything else was not there, was not existing. And it was like super fast, super nice project and everything. Yeah. The client didn't say much about AI, I had some problems with that. Like, oh, can you just do this? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I can do it in Photoshop later, but like right yeah. now in 2 seconds, no. But in general, it was quite nice and like able to do something completely different inside a current production company producing some current thing that mixes AI with other technologies. I think that's the next 2-3 years, you know, of everything. And then we'll move to full AI for sure.
Yeah, which will be amazing. And yeah, sometimes it is frustrating, those little parts of AI that you can't control, but the overall benefit, especially for small lean brands, is just undeniable. You know, to know that you can spend like a couple $100 on a green screen or something like that for a background and then start doing AI work, like your budget gets cut in half for a ton more production value. And I know that for creatives, that seems a little daunting and a little intimidated that AI is going to come and take business. But, you know, we all kind of forget that as a client becomes busier, as we empower them, at some point they're going to need help. So, you know, even being able to access these tools, and if we can't take on, you know, paid opportunities with someone to be able to give them the information or to act as a consultant like you did, or to, you know, just knock out something that is more reasonably priced that will tackle the project at hand. Like, it's so amazing to have these tools and resources available to us. But again, that ties back into, we don't really know what we're capable of unless we are organized and structured and have had the time to explore those outlets to know, you know, what they can do and how long it's going to take us to deliver. So
100%, man.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay. So, we will actually wrap up with one more question. It is, it's not about organization. It's actually about AI trends, but if you want, we can talk to them. We can talk about AI and its application in organization, because I know that ChatGPT has actually been an invaluable tool for organizing projects. And a little earlier, you mentioned that one of the benefits of your process is that it is so reliable that you can go through it and then feed it into ChatGPT, and then you have like your project guidance and your notes and kind of that brief. So what do you see AI empowering creatives who are looking to be organized and structured in 2024? What do you see it doing for them?
Lots of automation, especially. But I think the first thing, it will get more intelligent. Mm. Right now, what we have and we call AI is not really AI.
Yeah.
Being really, really honest. So ChatGPT this year will launch their new model. For sure, it will be super powerful and everything. But right now, with the 4.5, I think you are operating, if you don't know how to operate it properly, it will give you crap results. Mm. And again, the solution is create a process and organization to make it, like, for example, the UX thing that I keep feeding my work. First, I go to the internet, I find valuable material, free PDFs that I could download and feed it about how to make user personas, how to understand the user research, how to create user journeys, all these things that I would know that I will need during my process. I get valuable material and feed the ChatGPT and teach it, create a really long prompt saying exactly what I want, the type of answer I should get from it, like which type of structure, how long or how short it should be, to not repeat words, to not do things, to do this, to not do this, you know, really, really specific, really. Like, I spend at least 2-4 hours maybe training one on GPT.
Wow.
But then I use every day for all my work for months.
Man.
And it saves so much time. And then again, it's not that after trained, it's just do a summary of this document to me. It will do, but it will not be the best answer you could get for it. While if I do a simple five-step process that I already have ready, I even have my docs with the copy and paste text, just insert there and keep going.
Yeah.
Then I'll get like really good results that I can take it, organize it, clean whatever it needs to be clean, send it, and it's good because it's doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And about AI trends, I always a little bit skeptical talking about this because everybody that predicted something about AI said that, you know, creativity and arts and music will be the last thing that AI will touch, and the first thing will be the robotic automatic jobs, and we're seeing that's not the case.
Yeah, it's been the opposite. Yeah.
So yeah, like everybody was wrong. Okay. Yeah. What I see that is quite certain, let's say, is this first evolution will be more intelligent a little bit, understand us better. But the thing is, language is incredibly limited. We are terrible at communication as human beings, and we are noticing that with the presence of AI, which is a good thing because we can start evolving that in that scenario, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we created since the beginning of times lots of things to support language, which is like music, arts, things that you can express, you know, because language is so limited. And that's the thing we're facing. So for me, this evolution of the intelligence. The second will be AI video will get to a really good level of quality and consistency, but I think still be short. Like right now, you can generate 4 seconds of video per time. You'll probably double, maybe 12, maybe. Wow. We'll see. And the third thing I want to say is a kind of a hollow world. Some environment that you kind of create on the go and explore it, but nothing like big VR things. Will be really simple, but will be quite interesting. I saw the CEO of Midjourney talking about this. They predict that in the end of this year, they could achieve that. And it's not something like with 3D or video that you're generating the final asset that you can edit in a million ways. No, you get the final work, you know, you get the video of the 3D model you created, like you won't generate the whole 3D super beautiful with all the polygons correct, and then that won't do. But inside the tool you're using, the 3D will look good and you have the experience there. I think that's what will happen.
That's crazy. I mean, that kind of reminds me of some of the tech, like Meow Wolf out in Las Vegas is doing like the Van Gogh experience. And so, you know, it doesn't work outside of there, but if you're there and you put on goggles, like you were fully immersed in his artistic world and some of his paintings and things like that. And that would be such a beautiful expression for a lot of brands as they exist to help, you know, explore some of their facilities, to have that internet connectivity, to be able to offer people that accessibility from where they are. That is crazy.
And probably what will be by the end of the year, next year, is like you, these guys that is doing this experience, they will allow you to type something or choose something to generate real time. And they see the same experience, but about Monet.
Man, <You know? laughs> that's so, listen, I definitely want to have you back at your convenience to dive into this more, because I know I feel bad that I didn't document the name of it, but I did just see in my social feed a little earlier that Google has been releasing a new video prompting AI that is just, I mean, it's insane, the results, and it's not for public use right now. They're still beta testing and using it, you know, just as an entity themselves. But yes, the acceleration of AI in just a couple of years is insane. And as creatives, especially looking to develop creative processes, you know, one of the best tools and resources that we have available are asking ChatGPT, how do I accomplish this? This is how I learn. How can I learn it my way? Like, how can I set up processes? Because it will spit out a template for you. You know, if you ask it the right questions, it will give you something that you can just fill out that, you know, will give good results. But, you know, spending 2 to 4 hours like you do to really finesse it and make it a very valuable tool. I've seen some places where you can actually save all of your results to like a hotkey so that, you know, when you're producing content, you can just be like, you know, alt four or something. This is the prompt. This is everything that I've fed you. So we're going to start from here. So it really does just eliminate all of that necessity of having to go back or feeling lost or just feeling unprepared. Oh, thank you so much. Someone in the chat just said it's Google Lumiere. So if you're in here and you're wanting to check out a developing AI tool that is soon to be released and is just making waves, definitely, you know, Google Lumiere will be something to look forward to. I know that you're really big with what Runway and Kyber right now and just doing like insane, amazing work with those. So really excited to see what you have lined up for the rest of the year in the AI field. But to respect your time, we'll go ahead and kind of wrap this episode up. I think that this has been one of the most unexpected discussions that I've come across, but I really can't convey to you enough gratitude in selecting this as a subject, because as someone who went through multiple projects in the beginning of my design career and finished most of them not feeling like I had accomplished them to the best of my ability, this is something that really would have helped me, you know, at those beginning stages. So to have this as this information as a new designer, as someone who is interested in the industry, or as someone who is looking to amplify their results, this is like, you know, truly invaluable information. So thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Appreciate it. Thank you for all the questions and the good time.
Yeah, for sure. And we will make this episode available. We are on Spotify, we're on Google, we're on Apple Podcasts. So here in the next 2 or 3 days, we will actually have this in rotation and uploaded for anyone who didn't get to join us live for this discussion. I'm definitely looking forward to posting more content and snippets from our discussion in the LinkedIn group and kind of just continuing this conversation, because it is real and it is here. So to everyone that is joining us, thank you all so much. We're so excited and grateful to you. We hope that you are with us for the remainder of this journey. We've got a ton of guests lined up for some new episodes this year. Be covering some super valuable topics, and we're definitely looking forward to having Mauricio back so that we can get in touch with his creative side. So yeah, thank you so much. I know that it's a little late where you're at, but you still took the time. We'll make sure that this is translated and everything for your demographic as well. This is super, super beneficial for everyone.
Sure, sure thing. Thanks a lot, man. Real pleasure to be here. You know, I'm in the group too, so shout out questions there and be able to answer.
Yeah, excited. You know, here soon we are going to start launching some contest-based challenge series. They will have prizes. We're going to open them up to creatives from all different fields. So art, photo, video, AI will all have categories, but very excited to have you as a part of that and, you know, maybe take a leadership role. I know that you are popular everywhere. Everything that you do is just so amazing and so intentional and thought out. So, yeah, looking forward to developing some amazing experiences with you, man.
Sure thing, man. Count me in.
Awesome. Well, I just want to take a moment to wish everyone a great afternoon, evening, morning, wherever you are, wherever you're tuning in. I hope that you have found some value, some excitement, some motivation in this episode. And I do hope that you come back and join us for episode 3, which we will be announcing soon. So, yeah. Have a great evening, Mauricio. I know it's nighttime where you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sure True and Heather are very grateful for you as well. And we're looking forward to continuing the conversation.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, man.
Awesome. Bye-bye. Have a good night.